Please pray for me. You have to understand something from the book of Malachi. Sometimes you may feel some difficulty to understand me today because there are some different vocabularies here and there, I think. Anyhow, the Lord's presence is here.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit is moving among us, and we are His people, and I am preaching His word, and I am His servant.
Yes.
So, hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Let's praise the Lord. In every occasion, we have the right to praise the Lord. In my home city, there is a man by name C.V. Varghese. He is converted from Roman Catholic Church to our church. And he accepted Jesus Christ, and he is a very faithful servant of the Lord. Early in the morning, he will get up. Early morning means at 4 o'clock. He will get up and he will pass through streets with a megaphone. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Megaphone. With a megaphone, he will very loudly or shout the God's word to the people, those who are sleeping. Many of the people will get up by hearing these beautiful words of God.
Yes.
Sometimes some people will come out and say, "You are disturbing our sound sleep." But even then, he is not afraid at all to shout the word of God.
Yes.
And in a certain corner, he will stand and preach 5 or 10 minutes. That is his custom every day. One day he was going for this purpose, a bus was passing and hit his body, and one of his leg broke. And now he walks, but very hardly. But even then he is doing that ministry.
Amen.
Even then he is doing that ministry. But meanwhile, why I took this incident is this. Last year, his oldest daughter died. Within few minutes, she got a headache, and within few minutes, she died. It was an upset in his mind because of sudden death. Again, he was really faithful to the Lord. His oldest son got a very good boy, about 17 years of age, handsome, white complexion. Very good color he got. Very beautiful face, very intelligent. And while he was driving a motorcycle, hit to an electric post, died at the spot. The second shock. And again, he was so faithful. Again, he was waiting to the Lord and working for the Lord. And another grandchild died by cancer, the third shock. Then all this time, he was encouraged by his wife, by a fever. She also died, the fourth attack. Then there was one of his son, the second son, is a police officer. He died by a heart attack, the fifth attack, his life. Within 1 year, If you are in such a position, what will be your attitude? And even then, after the fifth shock, still with that painful leg, early morning he go and serve the Lord.
Amen.
Then people ask him, what's the use of serving the Lord? You are so faithful to the Lord, but even then God is not able to protect even your body. And a question all the time come to our mind. Why we are serving the Lord? We have suffering, and those who are wicked people, they have no problem at all. And they are enjoying the life. That's what the message in book of Malachi was. And when we go through the book, many things we have to study. Before going to the book, let me give you the meaning of the book, a meaning of the name, Malachi. Malachi. Actually, the Hebrew word is Malachi. In Malayalam, we say Malachi. Whenever I preach, sometimes the same word will come to my mouth and say Malachi. But Malachi, sometimes you pronounce Malachi, but the right word is Malachi. Anyhow, that is the Hebrew word. The Malachi, what the meaning is, my messenger.
Yes.
And Malachiah is another word. That Malachiah is shortened by Malachi. But that's meaning message of Yahweh. Message of God.
Yes.
Messenger of God. Or messenger of the Lord. So Malachi is a messenger of God. He has to tell us something in his message. So this message is for all the people, not only the Jews, those who are in Jerusalem. This Malachi was a contemporary of Nehemiah.
Yes.
So it is very close to Nehemiah. So the people of Israel, God's chosen people. Why God chose these people of Israel or Jews? There is only one purpose. They wanted to be the magnet in the world.
Yes.
You understand what I mean? Magnet.
Yes.
To attract people to the living God.
Yes.
And they wanted to be the magnet in the world. So as Church of God is the magnet in this world.
Yes, that's so.
You and I should be the magnet in this world, in this dark world. As you read 1 Peter 2:9, we have the Church of God. We are a chosen generation,
yes.
A royal priesthood.
Yes.
Sometimes we all enjoy the word royal priesthood.
Yes.
Once or twice, I think I explained what is royal priesthood. You know what is the meaning of priest? Priest. I will tell you if you don't. This is a stream. This is land. This is also land. Two lands. See, edge of the land is coming there, but here is a stream. What you have to do to connect this edge? What you will do if there is a stream? Bridge, correct. That's right. That is priest.
Yes.
That is priest.
Amen.
Sometimes we claim ourselves that we are royal priesthood. Not ordinary priesthood, but royal priesthood. We have to enjoy the Lord, enjoy it in the presence of the Lord, and claim ourselves that we are the royal priesthood.
Yes.
What is the meaning of that priesthood? We want to be a bridge. Between the sinful people and God.
Yes, that's so.
The first day I explained that God is looking someone to stand in the gap.
Yes.
On behalf of the land before the Lord. That is what priest. My dear saints, let me ask you this question again. Are we priests? Sometimes we can claim ourselves that we are priests, we are royal priests. Are you a priest? You want to be a priest. Either for the neighborhood, for the street, for this state, for this country. You want to be a priest. You and all. Even women can be a priest. Men can be a priest. Child can be a priest. A child can be a priest.
Yes, that's so.
And young people can be priests. We want to be priests. Our responsibility is to be being priests in this world. But we fail. We fail. That's the problem. That is why we are not flourishing. We fail in our responsibility. So this message is for us all. To examine our life. Are we priests for the Lord? We have to examine very clearly. And holy nation. Holy, that word is very good word. God is holy. So we should be holy. What is the meaning of holy? Holy means set apart for a particular purpose for the use of God, for using God. For a particular purpose. God, see, that in another word, set apart for holy use. That is holy nation. That, and we are nation. We are a nation. For what? To be used by God. We have to examine ourselves. Are we usable by the Holy God? Is He using us? He wants to use us. He wants to use us as an instrument. God is not using His hand, but He is using our hand. God wants some certain matuni or matunis, certain people here to use for His purpose, for His use. That's why holy nation and His own peculiar people to proclaim the praises of God. To proclaim the praises of God to those who are in darkness. So that's our responsibility. But the people of Israel, they failed. In many sense, they failed. And internally, let me reveal these things. Let's examine our own life too. When we examine the scripture, the best way is to examine our own life. Internally, the people, those who are mentioned in this book of Malachi, internally, they wonder whether it is worth serving God. Is it necessary to serve God? What's the use of serving God? In their mind, there was a question like that.
Yes.
Yeah, let me read this scripture. 3:14. You have said, it is vain to serve God. Malachi, book of Malachi, Chapter 3, verse 14 and 15, I am reading. Look that scripture. You have said, the people of God have said, it is vain to serve God. What profit is it that we have kept His ordinances and that we have walked as mourners before the Lord of hosts? So now we call the proud blessed. For those who do wickedness are raised up. Yes, those who tempt God go free. We are looking with our own minds. Looking only at the material things of this world. And we look the wicked people, not God. And they go free. They do all kinds of wickedness. They are happy all the time. They enjoy the flesh, and even though they do wickedness, they go free. We look people, materialistic mind we have. We don't want to look the people. There is nowhere in the scripture to look people around you. But we have to look God. And what we say, it is vain to serve God. What's the use of serving God? Why? What's the use of
being in the church of God?
What's the use of being a holy man? What's the use of keeping holiness in our life? What's the use of keeping separation from the world? We all, but many think like that internally.
Yes.
Internally. At least one. Sometimes we ask ourselves, what's the use of serving this Lord? Even he is not even to take off my pain. What's the use of serving? Some people enjoy the flesh, enjoy the world. Hey, they enjoy, they dance according to the tune of Satan. But no problem at all. We are once and jealous of these worldly people. That is internally. You know that what you have inside, that will produce outside. It's true, my dear saints. What you have in your heart, that will come up. That will come up in some way. You know that many people have two life. Outside something, inside something different. Once I was going to a street, night time, I saw just like a spark of light, about 5.5 feet. When I was looking, there's a spark of light. When I approached, there was a man. He was smoking. And as soon as he saw me, he took that cigarette in his hand, from his mouth and just smash. He paid money for that cigarette. But when he saw me, he tried to smash. That means he is wishing that this man do not want to see. God can use, God can see, but the servant of God should not see. Number of times I have seen people like that.
Yes.
Two life.
Yes.
The people that I am a holy man. But otherwise, secret life, they are secret life.
Yes.
That is dangerous.
Yes.
What you have internally, it will produce when you are in secret.
Yes.
So we need an internal purity.
Amen.
We need an internal holiness.
Yes.
Confess before the Lord. If something wrong in our heart, that's the best way to get it off. That's the best way to get it off. And these people, internally, they were very, very far from the Lord.
Yes.
Internally. Please stand with me, Psalm 14:1. What does it say? How long? The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none who does good. See, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Because he is thinking there is no God. He is doing all kind of corruption. They are corrupt. And they have done abominable works. Who say in the heart that there is no God? Fool. Fool. We say with our lips there is God. But in our hearts say, there is no God. That is foolery.
Yes.
That is double life.
Yes.
With our lips, we sing. When we get time, we will clap.
Yes.
But inside, there is no God. That's why we are corrupt. We do corrupt, corruption. We are corrupt. Because inside, nothing. There is no regeneration at all. And they do all kind of abominable works.
Yes.
They are foolish people. But many think fool means here, some people think the fool means those who are so wicked. They say there is no God. No, some people, those who know God better, but they by their work deny God.
Yes.
That is fool.
Yes.
Who is a fool? One who say with the lips that there is God, at the same time by his work denying the existence of God, is a fool. And in the same way, the people of Israel, internally, they are away from the Lord. They ask themselves, what's the use of serving the Lord? Sometimes some people ask today, what's the use of serving the Lord? You know that backsliding starts where? In the heart. We all on a sudden, we cannot identify a person whether he is backslidden or not. After some time only, we understand, oh, we love that person very much, but he was away from the Lord.
Yes.
That is why, in the treatment, we can understand. And these people were in such a way. They were internally away from the Lord. So therefore, externally, let's come to the Lord. They have a mechanical... want to go all through because I wanted to finish within the time. The time that clock is so running so fast. See, mechanical observances they had, because internally they are away from the Lord. Because of that, they don't fear the presence of the Lord. So mechanical observances they had.
Yes, that's so.
Mechanical way of worship. You know that, did you get the real meaning of mechanical?
Yes.
There are some people, mechanical.
Yes.
When there is time, they can sing.
Yes.
When the tape recorder on, sing. When they don't want to stop, they don't want to sing, stop. Machine is like that.
Yes.
And mechanical observances. Come to the church, go out of the church, sing, praising Lord, praying, preaching, all kind of things.
Yes.
But no God inside.
Yes.
No feeling of the presence of the Lord.
Yes.
That is the dangerous things.
Yes.
You know that? That is the dangerous things.
Yes.
There is no hope for such people.
Yes.
It is so dangerous. Yes. If we have an experience like that, we have to get clear with the Lord today at this time itself. Otherwise, it's so dangerous. It's so dangerous. My words are limited to express what I have in my mind. Otherwise, I could shout a little more. This is so dangerous. Having a mechanical observance of the spiritual things. And empty riches. You see, the people in this book itself, you know that they bring... it's very, very easy. The God himself asking them question, will a man rob God? They were robbing God. And in many ways, they were away from the Lord. And they were cheating on offering and tithe.
Yes.
And crass, indifferent to God's work. In many ways, they were away externally. So, internal experience is all the time make clear and make fruit in the spiritual life. They were in disbelief, disappointment, and discouragement because there is nothing inside. They forsake God, living for themselves. If I conclude that message, they were living not for God, but they were living for themselves. Sometimes I examine certain people. I don't have any right to examine anyone. But when we see things, we can understand. They live for themselves.
Yes.
They live for their own satisfaction. they live for their own desire, the fulfillment of the desire. That is bad.
Yes.
That is very bad. That is not the way we should live.
Yes.
We have to live for the Lord.
Yes.
We are Lord's people.
Yes.
We are only servant of the Lord.
Yes.
You know that? We are slave.
Yes.
Slavery is not good. Slavery is not good. But we want to be a slave to the Lord.
Yes.
Let me tell you one more thing. Some people say, we want to be free. I don't want to be a slave to anyone. I want to be master of my own life. I tell you, I challenge you in a better way that you cannot be a master of your own life. You cannot be a master of your life. You will be all the time a slave to someone or something or some character. No one can be free indeed. People will be very slave to Satan.
Yes.
Maybe slave to drinking.
Yes.
Maybe slave to movies. Maybe slave to robbery.
Yes.
Maybe slave to adultery.
Yes.
Maybe slavery to fleshly enjoyment. They wanted to stop, but they cannot.
Yes.
I challenge anyone. Come and tell me, I can stop whatever I don't want. I tell you back, you cannot. You cannot. One or two days, you can somehow manage. The next third day, you will be out. You'll be fallen. I have seen number of people challenging like that. I myself made decision like that, but I could not keep. Because we all people are under a slavery. Therefore, you can be free from Satan and darkness and evil power when you submit as a slave in the hand of God who loves you better.
Yes.
You submit in the mighty hand of God who is our lovely, loving Father.
Yes.
Submit Him and be a slave to Him. Then you are free indeed.
Amen.
You are free indeed.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
We are free indeed.
Amen.
We are no more slave to any sin.
Amen.
We are no more slave to any other habit. Because we are free indeed.
Amen.
They were living for themselves. They were slave to many, many things. But God's appeal is this. God's appeal is this. For the people and priests to stop and realize that their lack of blessing is not caused by God's lack of concern, but by their disobedience.
Yes.
If I cut short the sentence in small pieces, if you don't get to be any blessing from the Lord because you are disobedient to the Lord. If you are obedient to the Lord, God will bless you.
Yes.
Why you are not getting any blessings? Blessings? Because you are disobedient to the Lord.
Yes.
When we want to get blessing from the Lord, not the desire only, but we have to obey Him perfectly.
Yes.
Then we will. He will bless us. And that's why He says, if you turn, the message brings that, if you turn, the breach can be repaired.
Amen.
Breach. There is a breach. Can be repaired. All hope is not lost. God can heal and mend and reweave whether there is any broken part. That is the message of Book of Malachi. And that is the grace. That is the forgiveness of God. God is still mercy to us. And He can forgive us. So, we have to examine ourselves, evaluate the depth of our commitment to the Lord, evaluate the sincerity of our worship, evaluate the direction of our life, allow God to restore us, then God will restore us. and serve the Lord. Serve the Lord. Then God will give you reward.
Yes.
I'm going to explain a little bit more on this. Excuse me. Then those who fear the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. Number one, there is a God's constant attention is there if you serve the Lord.
Yes.
Let me name like this. God's constant attention, if you, that is one of the reward of serving the Lord. God's constant attention. Here the sentence is, those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. You just paraphrase that word. You spoke something, God listened and heard.
Amen.
That means, when you spoke something, He was there. That is the presence of the Lord. He is hearing, He is listening, and He is hearing. Oh, that's something wonderful, isn't it? We, sometimes we people are thinking, no one has heard. No one has heard. I myself said something whispered only, whispering. But God heard. The presence was, the presence of the Lord was there when you were whispering. In the service of the Lord, when you say something, God hear and listen. Must He listen and hear? Oh, make sure that God is hearing what we speak. You cannot speak any secret things in your life. You cannot escape from the Lord. He is listening what you speak. That's something wonderful, isn't it? Our prayers, He listens. If you are serving the Lord, He is listening our prayers. That is why when we come here, we pray to the Lord.
Yes.
That is why we pray to the Lord. He is listening. Yes. And secondly, and our conversation, He is hearing our conversation.
Yes.
And when we witness, God is hearing what we speak to the people.
Yes.
His presence is there. Psalm 34:15 says, the eyes of the Lord on the righteous, and ears are open to their cry. When they cry, His ears are open. You think, who can do like that? Your father can do like that? When you cry, open His ears? Sometimes He cannot. Do the wife can? No. But God can. When you cry, I have seen wives crying, wife crying, but husband is not answering anything. Beloved one, but he cannot do anything. Sometimes we can cry only. But God hears our cry, opens His ears for our cry. God listens us. The pain of grief, loss, sorrows, daily frustrations, or even our feeling, He understands and hears. Our words are listening. Therefore, we have to remember, when we say something about someone, to someone, it must be very good words, very good message. Otherwise, it is dangerous. Sometimes, some people, they wanted to convey someone's fault to another one. Sister, did you know that? Did you hear that? Such and such fellow is fool. Don't say to other people.
Yes.
But God hears. God listens.
Yes.
What do you say something about? Maybe a false statement.
That's true.
So we must be very careful. And another important thing. Sometimes we use sharp words.
Yes.
It's also dangerous.
Yes.
Remember, God is listening us. The prayer to the Lord, a psalmist prayed like this: let the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. He prayed like that. We have to pray to the Lord every day. Let the words of my mouth today and meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. We have to pray every day, every moment, because He is hearing our whispering. So actually what we have to do, if He is hearing, we have to do two things at least. Psalm 66:16. We have to do that thing. Every day you have to do two things. 66:16. What does it say? Come, hear, all you who fear God, and I will declare what He has done for my soul. Come here. That's the thing we have to tell other people. Not their fault, but we have to tell them, come and hear. Sister, come and hear. Brother, come and hear. And I will declare what He has done for my soul. That we have to tell others. God is listening what we are doing. So we have to pray, we have to give thanks to the Lord and praising our salvation before other people. So whenever we get a chance, we have to tell them, come and hear what the Lord has done. In another words, we have to give our personal testimony to other people. God is trying to hear what we are saying. When we are witnessing, He is listening. Sometimes God will be disappointed. We have nothing to say something about our own salvation, but we say something about the cloth we purchased from the market. Sometimes we have to say something about the news from the newspaper, something about from the world. But we have nothing to say when we see someone. But the first and important thing, when we see someone, we'll tell what the Lord has done in our personal life. That is the main thing to proclaim before the people. Now, second thing, Hebrews 3:13 says, but exhort one another daily. Please underline the word daily. Exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. What is the meaning of this? Daily we have to exhort someone. Hebrews 3:13. And exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. See, God has given us a responsibility to keep our brothers from becoming hardened their heart.
That's true.
We have to keep them holy. Our responsibility is, suppose we have few people here, someone is weak in the faith, our responsibility is to meet him and exhort him to keep in faith.
Yes.
Keep faith. Exhort him. That's our responsibility. Paul, the writer of the epistle of Hebrews says, we have to do it daily.
Yes.
It is our daily responsibility to exhort someone. The Church of God people have a special ceremony. Feet washing? Ordinance. Okay. The Church of God people, I understand it is one of the best ordinances. Because we wash the feet of other saints.
Yes.
It's a good thing, isn't it?
Yes.
What do you think? What is the meaning of that? Once in a while, when we get together, having a fellowship, isn't it? No. That is not the meaning. We wash his feet, not body. feet all the time indicate the walk in the world. The feet is an indication or a resemblance of walking in the world. When someone walks in the world, there is a possibility to get at some attachment of sin in his life. So we, by an ordinance, we show other people, I am cleaning. Something happened to this man in his walk in the world. That is why we wash his feet. In another word, I am responsible to keep this man holy. That is the responsibility. That is the meaning of that ordinance. I am responsible to keep that man holy. I can be holy. He cannot be holy sometimes. So I am the keeper of that, my keeper of my brother. I have to keep him holy. That is what the meaning of the ordinance, the feet washing. Once in a while we do it as a fellowship. No. That's why the writer says we have to do daily. Exhort one another. Help them to keep in faith. Exhort where there is any fault. Correct him. The correction is our responsibility. My sense, we have a tremendous responsibility. Every day I am bringing more and more responsibilities from the scripture. More responsibilities we have. Amen. We are the saints of the Lord. We have the priesthood. We have the royal. We are the royal priesthood. We have tremendous responsibility in this world. Around the people, responsibility among the people in the world, responsibility among the within the church. Within the church, outside the church, we have certain responsibilities because we are the light of the world. And we have to do the same thing every day, exhort one another. And secondly, that is one, God's constant presence. And He hears and listening and hearing. Now that's the closest presence of the Lord with us. Secondly, a book of remembrance. 3:16. Let's come back. Malachi. 3:16 says, and so a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on his name. A book of remembrance. Second reward is there is a book of remembrance. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. There is a book of remembrance. Yes. Here is something very, very, very great meaning we get it. There is a book of remembrance. Otherwise, we could do as we like. But there is a book of remembrance. Yes. My saints, remember, there is a book of remembrance. He is writing. There is a book in your name. A big ledger God has. And in that ledger, there is a page for you. One page for me. One page for Brother Taylor. One page for another. Almost all people have an account in his. There is a book of remembrance. For what? Psalm 56:8. Let them be like 56. Okay. 56. You number my wanderings. Put my tears into your bottle. Are they not in your book? There is a book. And he is numbering our wanderings. Remember? When we wander, he is numbering. How many times he wandered? The wanderings are numbered. Then he is keeping. He put my tears into your body. Oh, that's something not imaginable. Because he is keeping our tears in his body. Whenever you shed tear, it is not wasting. There is a book. I don't know who wrote it. Don't waste your tears. When you, sister, brother, whenever you cry in the presence of the Lord, the tears you shed will be kept in a bottle. We are not wasting tears. He will never waste anything, even our tears. So cry more. Cry more in the presence of the Lord. It will be kept in His hand, a bottle, in that bottle. Oh, let's try to fill that bottle. He is keeping. And what that? Another thing, He is writing in His book. For what? The tears. The story of tears. The story of tears is recorded in His book. When Sister Ruth cried, for what? Is it for her personal thing? Or for is it for someone's salvation? Is it for someone? Something like that. He is writing for the history of our tears. And He is writing in His book. Oh, it's wonderful, isn't it? Oh, it's wonderful. God is writing and He is keeping our tears and He is writing our story of tears. He is writing. Oh, I am so glad. I am so glad. Because He is writing what all we do. And He is writing in the book. And that's another thing. Hebrews 6:10. It's an encouraging message for me. 6:10. For us all, I think. This is an encouraging thing in our life. Let's try to serve the Lord more and more. 6:10, it says like this. For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown toward His name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. Sister Taylor, all the time, they are very concerned for my feeding. And then all the time I remember this scripture. Oh, God is writing in His book. A little one came from India and lived in his home. He ministered, fed him in a better way, treated him in a better way, gave him enough hospitality. He write in His book. So wonderful. So wonderful. Our God is not unjust. You do something for the Lord, and He is writing in His book something great. Whenever in my home I have some extra rooms, not to enjoy our life, but to whenever someone come to my home, I wanted to give him hospitality. So extra rooms are kept, and my wife is ready to serve for them. Because of that, I am really blessed. You know that one who serves the Lord, his feet is so beautiful. If he step on my home, he is bringing the blessing from the Lord. We understand that. So we serve. Let's try to serve other people. Let's do something for the Lord. In the name of the Lord, if you do something, God is writing in His book. There is a book of remembrance. That in that book, He is writing everything. I'm sorry, time is going running very fast. In the book of Esther, there is a story of Mordecai. Yes. And he did a wonderful thing for the king. You know the story. You all know the story? That's why I am not... It is written in Esther 6, 1 to 3 and 11. It is written there. I am not going to take the scripture portion. But you know that. The Mordecai did a wonderful thing for the king. Two gatekeepers tried to kill that king. And he knew that matter and informed the king, and the king was escaped from the trap. And it was written in the book, in the book of Chronicles. It was written. And one day, God did not give him sleep. And he was without sleep. He on his bed, even though it is a very fine bed, he did not have sleep. And he called the servants to bring the record of Chronicles. Yes. And when they opened and read, There is an incident recorded in that book. Mordecai saved my life.
Yes.
What in response to that? What honor you gave to Mordecai? Nothing written. He did some good thing for me, but I did not in return. Nothing. And what happened? He called all people and made an announcement. The next day, on the halls of the royal hall, on back of the royal halls, this Mordecai was seated and decorated. A crown was given him and was paraded in the street.
Yes.
Mordecai, the man who honored God, honored the king.
Yes.
Even a human king, do not forget what something did for his life. If you do something for the Lord, he will never, never, never forget it. It is written in his own book. In his own book it is written. Therefore, my dear saints, we are going to get its reward. So the reward of serving will be written in the book of remembrance. There is a book of remembrance. Let's be encouraged and challenged to do many things for the Lord. Why I am shouting here? The joy is that I am serving the Lord with gladness. Why? Because I am serving the living God.
Yes.
And He is with me. He has encouraged me to encourage you.
Yes.
So I am very glad. There is a book of remembrance. And again, let me try to jump that next sentence. There is a precious jewels.
Yes.
317. There is precious jewel. God is considered as a jewel.
Yes.
You and I, an ordinary person, we do not have any royal heritage. We don't have much education. Maybe poor people in this world. Maybe an ordinary person. But God is considering us as a jewel.
Yes.
Oh, sometimes I think, I weigh only 105. Just like sometimes it is very difficult to get a cloth for me. Because they all the time unsized. If I go to the boys section, even boys section is also not fit for my body. Once I wanted to get a suit. And my daughter and son-in-law tried to here and there, taking me different places, no suit at all. No suit at all. But finally I was so much discouraged. Oh Lord, my body is so weak. I don't have sufficient height. I don't have sufficient body. That is why I am always unfit. Whenever I get a cloth, it is not fitting for me. But finally, I went to a place. There was a suit. Yesterday I used that. There was a suit. I put it. It's correct for me. When I looked, what is the price of that? When I looked, what is the price of that? It is written, if you buy this, get one free. I got another one too. Because of the unfitness, I got two suits for one, paying one for one. How blessed God we have. I serve the Lord. It's wonderful. So I got two suits. I do praise the Lord. Because he is so wonderful. So he is precious. Whenever I go, I don't have time. Otherwise, I will explain something more of my personal life. Anyhow, God is so precious. And we treat us precious. It is scripture says, and he considers us a jewel.
Yes.
You know that the jewel is only an ordinary thing. But time, pressure, heat, and many other things make an ordinary stuff, an ordinary stone, in a different way becoming a jewel.
Yes.
And I don't have sufficient time. A jewel is made from raw material. That is exposed to time, heat, and pressure to change it into a valuable gemstone. The stone must be cut in order for its real beauty to be seen. A craftsman takes a stone and chips away rough edge and minimizes a fault, polish and put it into just the right setting to display its beauty.
That is the way a jewel come out.
Yes. Sometimes God will chip
a certain edge, maybe taking away one of our child. It's so difficult. But God is making a jewel. Do you have any trial like something like that? When you face a trial, thinking that He is chipping the unwanted edge to make you perfect jewel. Oh, I don't have time. I don't want to explain it. But you know, a jewel, a beautiful, valuable. God is considering us so valuable, beautiful. In one scripture, it is written, "If you touch my servant, you touch my heart."
Yes.
How precious we are. Yes. Oh, how wonderful it is. And ordinary people like us to be so precious in the presence of the Lord.
Oh, something great. And fourth thing, a joyful celebration. Let's come back to the scripture. Malachi 4:3:17, "And they shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day that I make them my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spare his own son who serves him. And then you shall again discern between the righteous and wicked, between one who serves God and one who does not serve him." And fourth chapter, "For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, and all the proud, yes, all who do wickedly will be stubble, and the day which is coming shall burn them up, say the Lord of hosts, that will leave them neither root nor branch. But to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in his wings, and you shall go out and grow fat like stalwart calves. And you shall tremble the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet. On the day that I do, says the Lord of hosts." There is a day. There is a day of celebration. There is a day of celebration. In that day, the righteous people will enjoy. That day is coming so soon. We have to praise the Lord. That day is coming so soon. The day of celebration. In that day, He gives His constant. And in that day, he is going to change many things in this world. In that day only, we will understand what will happen. And then there is a change between wicked and the righteous. Therefore, let us serve the Lord in a better way. Let me exhort you by this way. Don't think death is the end. In the scripture, in many, there are a number of scriptures, makes it very clear that the death is not the end, but only the beginning. Only the beginning. Please stand with me. One more scripture. Book of Daniel. Chapter 12. Even to that time, Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people, and there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation. Even to that time, at that time your people shall be delivered. And everyone who is found written in the book. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. That's why I told you that death is not the end. And some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting condemnation. Some will be risen for shame. And we have to think ourselves. When we went on that day, the day of the Lord, all will get up from the burial ground. And some for the eternal life. And others for shame. If you have done something for the Lord, that day will be a day of celebration. So God has written everything in His book. In the book of Revelation chapter 22 it is written, He took the book and look into the book. And those who are the names in the book were given according to their what? So death is not an end but a beginning of life. So let's try to serve the Lord better every day. Therefore, let's try to serve the Lord, because God has given His constant attention to you. God has a book of remembrance. God is making you as a jewel. And there is a joyful celebration. Let's try to serve the Lord. Not with murmuring, but with gladness. Let's serve the Lord.
Yes.
There is reward. Whatever you do in the name of the Lord will be rewarded. If you give a glass of water in the name of the Lord, and you will get the reward.
Yes.
If you suffer for the Lord, you will reign with the Lord. If you suffer more, you will enjoy more with the Lord.
Amen.
There is a day. That day we will understand better the reward of serving the Lord. So I made up my mind, rest of my life, serve the Lord in a better way.
Amen.
Will you please take a decision in such a way? I will serve the Lord in a better way.
Amen.
Let's make a decision like that.
Yes.
Our God is not unjust. He is a just God.
Yes.
Sometimes we will be disappointed, discouraged when we see the things going on in this world.
Yes.
Don't be discouraged. In our inner life and outer life, be perfect. And follow the word.
Amen.
And try to serve Him. Praise the Lord.